in your relationship with Jesus is to establish His holiness. Amen? Can you imagine? Can you even try to imagine what it must have been like a week after the most emotionally tragic event that you've ever experienced? For 3 years and a half, you walked away from your job. For 3 years and a half, you left everything and you followed this man only to have him crucified, and not just in a normal manner of crucifixion, but Rome put the dot on the exclamation point when they crucified Jesus. It wasn't a normal crucifixion. They tortured him beyond recognition. They beat him to within, well, in fact, what would have taken the life of most men, and they would have hung a corpse on a tree, but he didn't die by the beatings. He was unrecognizable. There was no way to tell who he was. Yet he had breath. And they nailed him to a tree. And then he, by his own pronunciation, he says himself, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And by his own word, he died. 3.5 years you've put your trust in him being what your idea of the Messiah was. Now, every one of you have an idea of who God is to you. But you'll never know the reality of that idea without enormous involvement in your life, in His life, in relationship with Him. Listen to me. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ that costs you something, you merely have a superficial relationship with Jesus, because everything in God's economy, listen to me, everything in God's economy, everything is built on sacrifice. Not just His sacrifice, but the reciprocity of sacrifice. That He sacrificed for me, so I offer my body as a living sacrifice to Him, holy and acceptable, which is just a reasonable response to His sacrifice. So regardless, and these men had sacrificed. And in their sacrifice now, they took what was left of this beaten and broken and bruised body. And with the help of Joseph of Arimathea and the other friend that comes along, Nicodemus, they wrap his body, and he brings 70 pounds, Nicodemus, of burial ointment to put on his body, and they put him dead in a tomb, lifeless, bloodless, dead. But can you imagine? 7 days later, that 7-day span, which was the challenge of the disciples, without any response, only hearing on the third day rumors that He'd risen. But that was to be expected. It was so expected that Rome, under the influence of the Pharisees, had put a squadron of soldiers, centurion, at the tomb so that if His disciples tried to steal His body and stage a resurrection, because Jesus had predicted, kill this temple and 3 days it'll rise back. So they put this Roman guard as protection. They thought he'd try to do something like that, stage it. But these guys are going, we've got a challenge in our life. And by the way, I'm continuing the series on challenges. This is more challenges. And until God quit speaking to me, I'm going to speak about direct challenges to your walk with Jesus. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
So he's gone, and they know he's dead. And they're just like you and me. We're standing around now after no job for 3.5 years, surrendered to him. And just like any industry, it's kind of left us a little bit, and we're gathered together in an upper room because we need to stay together and we need to pray to somebody or something. And all of a sudden, he walks into their presence. And he doesn't come in alone. He comes in, he comes in the fullness of his glory. Now, if you have a spiritual bone in your body, you got a tingling. Then if you don't, you need to have a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm very serious. He walked in, and they looked on the one whom they pierced. Isaiah became reality. He said, they will look on the one whom they've pierced. Side. A lance run under his rib cage into his heart to make sure he was dead. And they fell on the ground. And words do not depict the words and the statements and the response of the disciples. Listen close. They begin to cry, holy, 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 your God. It was their personal challenge, their 7 days of question and wonder and hearing that they had to go through, these every day a step in the process up to the point that they knew for absolute sure in their heart that he was Lord. And then he said, I'm not just going to leave the experience of me being Lord in your heart. I'm going to fill you with the experience, because I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. How could anyone in their right spiritual mind resist that kind of invitation from God that says, I've got the fullness of this relationship that I've had with you, that John predicted, that I said I'm going to do? How could anyone think that it's not his love for us that helps us with the challenges of life? You see, the Holy Spirit is your strength. And to deny that strength is to live in a superficial relationship with God where you don't really, really know. You think you know, but you really don't know God until you've had challenges hit your life. Now, I talked about challenges with Moses, and I've talked about challenges with the disciples last week with John, the challenge of discouragement last week. In fact, I have a stack of those, a few of those left, if you'd like one of those. I've talked to you about Nehemiah. I've talked to you about a number of challenges. But I want to talk to you this morning about more challenges in the subtitle is personal challenges. Because there are things that God allows in your life, and I know you're not going to know what I'm speaking about, Every one of us have been there many times, some in larger degrees than others. But have you ever faced a challenge in your life that you knew that only you could walk through it? You had to. You couldn't get a group, a support group, a book, a help, not even a pastor. This is something you begin to realize, God, I don't have any choice. First, I don't have a choice. Secondly, though, I have to walk through this challenge myself alone. It could be cancer in your body. I can feel for you if you have cancer, but I don't get it with you in order to identify you with you. I can respond to your concern, and as a pastor, I can have the burden of cancer, but I don't have it in me. And so the challenge is if I have it in me, then that's I've got to walk through that. What about a divorce? When it's not your choice, when you've been betrayed. What about a child that you alone are raising and something's happened because that child refuses to serve God, or something happens and you know you're the only key to that child's future and hope? What about something that just happens in your life that comes your way through relationship or finances, are something that you know that it isn't affecting the whole world? There's not a battle involved in this challenge. I'm not going to be strong and run off all the Philistines by killing Goliath. That's a true challenge. But that's not it. This is a challenge where it's personal to me. And this challenge, I've got to walk through this thing. How do we respond to those? I've got some thoughts for you. The Bible brings us to one of the greatest challenges in the history of man in Genesis chapter 22. If you want to turn there with me, 22:1 says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He gave him a challenge. Now, as you're turning, don't turn your ear off. Listen. We create trouble in our lives by our wrong decision making. And God helps us out of trouble. You ever been in trouble and said, God, I was stupid, I shouldn't have done that? For a long time, I thought that big red S on my chest stood for Superman. Then I found out it was for stupid. Check the color of your cape. Might be green or yellow, not red or blue. We cause troubles. We create trouble in our life many times. And God bails us out. In His mercy, I've cried to God and said, God, I've made a mess of things, and I need your help, Jesus. And He has bailed me out. How many can identify that and say amen? But that's not a challenge. That's not a challenge. A challenge is a personally, individually sculptured plan that God has put in your life that sometimes involve groups of people and sometimes always and always affects a lot of people around you, but sometimes it just is the challenge between you and life that God's placed in your hands that will literally change you if you turn to God. You see, challenges that you have in your life are God-centered and God-directed. And then when we recognize that this challenge is from God in our life, the Holy Spirit is the only way for you to recognize one of God's challenges and separate that from just problems that life brings. Life brings problems. I'm sick as a horse, but it's not a challenge. It's just a cold that I got because I kissed my grandsons who have colds. And that's not even stupid. It's worth it. I'll do it again. I'll get over it. That's not a challenge. But there are times when all of a sudden we recognize, God, there's a challenge in my life. And listen to me, that recognition only comes through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if you do not, I don't care what anyone tells you. I don't care what any doctrine tries to say. God has designed us to commune with the Holy Spirit. He's God. And to resist the Holy Spirit is to have a superficial relationship with a God who wants to commune with you. It's impossible to discern without the Holy Spirit. You'll never know truth from false. You'll never know right from wrong. But when you, as a child of God, work through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then God speaks to you. And He designates in your life, this is a challenge I'm giving you. And when you recognize a challenge from God, then you have to understand this. And this is something that you should remember. Every challenge God gives you is the entrance to the promise God has waiting for you. Now, you need to tattoo that one on your arm. Every challenge that God gives you is the entrance to the promise that He has awaiting you. God told a man who had no clout, no political or financial standing, but He called a man by the name of Abram and Sarah and changed their name to Abraham and Sarah and built a covenant relationship with these two people that were as common as shoe leather. And He said, if you're willing to walk through the challenges I place in your life, and there will be numerous, but every one of them has a purpose, and the purpose ultimately is the promise that I have for you. And understand this, they didn't even know what the promise was to start with. They didn't know nothing. They didn't come from a good Christian home. They came from nothingness. They weren't agnostics or atheists. I mean, they were agnostics. It's like, well, whatever God turns you on, that's fine. But all of a sudden, God sorts out all the other gods in the life of Abram, and He says to him, understand this, that I am God, and beside me there is no other God. I will be called Jehovah. And by number of my character traits, you will know me as Jehovah. You will understand me by Jehovah and the tag that's attached to the challenge that you go through in your life. So, He says, you've got this mess in your life. You couldn't have children by your wife, Sarah. So she gives you Hagar, which was not my plan. That's the trouble we get in. And you have to repent for the false work and what you did to try to create something. And you have a son named Ishmael, but I'll bless Ishmael because I'm blessing you. But he's not the son of promise. He's not the one. That was your doing. But God said, I'm going to do for you the impossible. I'm going to bring to pass what can't be done. And the only place you'll find the impossible done in your life is in the challenge that God gives you. That's all, the only place. You can walk away from the challenge. There have been thousands and literally millions that have been given opportunity by God that are not written in His book but are written in the annals of history that have said no thanks and walked away and lived a non-existence, empty life without promise and just died. You can do it. Just get apathetic. Make church low on your process. Make on your priorities. Make God low on your priorities. But when you put God above everything and realize His holiness, and He's above everything to you. So here, He says, I'm going to redo what you've tried to do. I know you're 90 and I know she's 80, but you're going to have a baby. And He goes, you could have said anything else and I would have been ready for it, God, but that's the one that came out of the left field on me. But Abraham said, you know what, God? Because I've met you as being Jehovah and I believe you are who you are, whatever you tell me, I believe is right. How many wants that kind of relationship with God? So he tells Sarah, and Sarah falls down and gets her jeans dirty laughing. You know, she's just rolling on the ground. So he mutes her. So that's enough of that. Believe me, if I find out you're going to have a baby, you can say anything you want to. We're not too old. We're just youngins. By the way, you are beautiful in that announcement. I forget how pretty you are. You're pretty. So here, look at, now stay with me. Stay with me. He says, you're going to have a baby. And when Abraham turns 100 and Sarah turns 90, this little squalling baby named Isaac is born. He's the son of promise. Isaac is the beginning of every promise in the Word of God. He is the reality of the fulfillment of Adam. Because God, through him, changed the course. And Isaac has Jacob, and Jacob has 12 sons, and Israel's born. And that through the son, Judah, comes the lineage of one by the name of Jesus, the son of David, a Judahite in the promise of God. And God walks in the flesh, his promise. But let's go back to Abraham. Listen very close. I'm not going to keep you long. Abraham has this baby, and this baby is more precious to him than anything in the world. And at about the age of 8 or 9 years old, when he's through all of these little baby stages and he's become his buddy now, God speaks to Abraham one day in chapter 22 and says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son. Rhetoric of a pre-existing promise that's going to take place on Calvary. Your only son. And I want you to take him to Moriah, and I want you to offer him on the mountain of God as a sacrifice to me. Look at the scripture. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, and I'll tell you about it. And so he goes, and he's got his donkeys and his servants, and they take wood, and they take a lit flame, and they get to the mountain where the region is, and he tells his guys, now look, you guys stay here. Stay here because I got another 3 days. I got about a 50-mile trip to take. It's exactly what it was. And he said, I'm going to take this with the boy. So for 3 days, they cover a lot of miles. And they're walking. This little 9-year-old boy is traveling. And finally, when he gets down to the end of the trip, and he's up, they climb the rough country of the mountain. And he gets up on top, and his father's looking around and stacking rocks up. He says, Father, there's something I don't understand. He said, I see the the wood, and I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham is faced with telling him, and listen to me real closely right now. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. He said, I can't put in you the faith that's in me. And I can tell you this morning, I can't put in you the faith that's in me. The hungry will get it. The apathetic, just be another service to the ones that are resistant of God. It'll just be, let's hurry up and get this over with. But to the hungry, they're going to get it. He said, son, even though you don't understand this, I'm going to tell you something I can't put in you, but I know Jehovah this well. God will provide a sacrifice. God will do. But in full obedience, and I want you to remember the word obedience. Everyone say obedience. In absolute, complete obedience, because this was the challenge. Listen to me, the greatest challenge you'll have in your spiritual life, and I want every ear open right now, even if you're not responsive to this, just listen. And if you are, gobble it up. The key to your relationship with God is 1,000% obedience to Him alone. No one else. No denomination, no preacher, no church, no doctrine to Him. Because He is, and His word is singular to Him and His word, which is one to Him. So in absolute obedience, Abraham takes his son and lays him down on the stone, and he shields his neck, his jaw. He puts his hand under his jaw. Come here, Macy, hurry. He goes like this. He's about this tall. He puts his hand, lift your head back, like this. And he takes a flint knife. And the priest started here, and they went around to here because it was the most painless way to sever both carotid arteries and to hold the head of the animal, what shook, until it bled out. And he takes his hand on the most precious thing that he owned, more precious than Sarah, believe it or not, because he was the promise of this relationship with God. He was the covenant. Puts his hand on him and he starts to take it. And something happened that only happened 3 times in the Bible. When Samuel was laying in the temple, God spoke to him and said, Samuel, Samuel, twice. When Moses was being called to his calling, God said, Moses, Moses, twice. Only 3 times in the word where God doubly emphasized a person's name to get their attention. And here he again says, Abraham, Abraham. And he stops in mid-motion. And we have what is known as a theophany, or it is the visitation of God in the Old Testament. The word angel, don't get caught up on angel. Angel means messenger of God, but in the right context in Hebrew, it means God himself. So what we actually have is Jesus before his incarnation that comes and stands by Abraham and says, I have seen your heart. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Look at the next verse. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I, everyone say I. No angel ever has the authority to say I. They are messengers. He said, I know. This was a theophany. This was God. This was Jesus in the Old Testament. He said, I know that you fear God. Because you have not withheld from me. The angel saying, from me, your only son. He's saying this. When you were faced with the greatest personal challenge that you knew those guys that were your servants, as good as they were as servants, as much as you loved Sarah as your wife, nobody could go with you through this except you. And you knew you could not go through it without God. It would be impossible. But because you did step into the challenge personally that nobody else could take but you. And listen to me. I want you to listen to me closely. Every one of you have or will have personal challenges. But they are the entrance to the promise of God in your life. They're not a curse. It's not bad luck. And when you understand it's not something you've caused, because Abraham didn't cause, he was visited by God. God spoke to him when he knew he was and said, "Here I am," and they made a covenant relationship. And then God spoke to him and said, "I'm going to give you a son," and it all looked rosy. Until God said, "I want you to walk through this personal challenge. Because I told you there's a promise, there's an entrance into that promise. And that promise is the challenge I'm about to give you." And when he did that, the word of God said that all of a sudden, Abraham realized that there was a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it and gave a burnt offering instead of his son. Listen closely. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. When you choose to walk through a personal challenge with God, two things for sure are going to happen. Number one, Jesus will be there at the critical moment of your challenge. He had to go to the Old Testament to show that he would be there. But he will be at the critical moment of your challenge. He'll show up. The second thing is this. He will provide the necessary sacrifice that's required when you come to that critical point. He'll provide. All he's looking for in your life is two things. One descriptive and one an action word. He's looking for radical obedience. Did you hear what I said? What if Abraham would have said, "Okay, God, I got you. You want me to sacrifice my son. I got you. But let me get the board of the church and the pastors together and talk to them because I think it's wise to get counsel." When God gives you a personal challenge, listen to me. I can't give you the answer to that as your pastor. As much as I love you, I cannot provide the answer. There's only one answer, obedience. I can't give you words of wisdom. I can't give you a word from God. And you'll know a personal challenge, when you get that from God, there's only one person, and that's you, who can make the decision to enter that door of personal challenge that enters the door of promise in your life. Because God's told you things he's going to do. And the challenge is so incredible. There's no way for you to met. I don't care what personal challenge you've got here. None of you have been asked by God to sacrifice your child. That was a one-time deal until he made it the second one. And he did sacrifice his. So regardless of how difficult it is, God is looking for this. He's looking for you to become radical in your obedience. I can't, let me ask you something. What if I'd gathered a group of you together, friends of mine, wise men? And I've got, hey, Ed, God's asked me to sacrifice Nate. Got any thoughts? Ed's total response is, you're nuts. You need a vacation. Here's some money. Go on a trip. Ken would say, hey, if he didn't give you enough, I will too. You're crazy. You've preached too much. You're tired. I can't cause you to understand my challenge. Do you hear what I just said? You can't cause somebody else to understand that challenge. But when you know it's God, you don't go out and tell everybody, because they're going to respond like someone who are good men and godly men and good friends and trying to help me, but they're going to respond the way a normal human being ought to that's not going through the challenge. You better not say that too loud or they're going to haul you off. So you keep your mouth shut. Do you hear me? You keep your mouth shut. And you don't go try to find a book to justify it, or a tape, or a preacher, or a church. You know, you keep your eyes focused on Jehovah. And listen to the next point that comes out of absolute obedience, radical obedience. That in that radical obedience, God begins to speak. And he says, I have more names than you know. And in that experience where the ram was provided, he said, my name is Jehovah Jireh. For the first time, we see another character trait of this Almighty God. It's not Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's not the right definition. Jehovah Jireh means, he will provide. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. He will provide. And all of a sudden, Jehovah begins to undo the curtains of who he is around you, and he envelops you in, I am your provider. And then he puts his arms around you in another challenge. And he says, to this point you couldn't understand it, but now I'm going to give you understanding. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm your peace. Peace about something you couldn't get, you couldn't fathom, but he exposes himself to you. I am Jehovah in any area of your life. I'll lead you. I'm Jehovah Nissi. I'm the banner over you that says, he is mine. And when you go to battle and God proclaims you as his own, it's only because you were willing to take a personal challenge in radical obedience. And I'm going to tell you, this doesn't affect anybody else. Listen to me, and this is my last words. You can maintain a superficial relationship with God with some kind of obedience, some kind of relationship, but you'll never know the promise of God. Never, ever know the promise of God without walking into that personal challenge, which is the entrance of the promise. And that only comes through radical obedience. Where Jesus Christ is more important to you than food. He's more important than your famous favorite TV show. He's more important than the sports that your kids are in. Now I am stepping on toes. He's more important than that obligation with another couple or something that you have. He is more important to you than that rest that we need instead of going to church. He's more important. I'm not getting after you. I'm telling you. You see, here's something I want to tell you. Unless you've had His glory, unless you've experienced His glory like those guys did that came into that room, the disciples, He's a figment of your religious imagination. He only comes a reality to you through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through you, to you. And He speaks to you, and all of a sudden you get a taste of Him. And when I say these things to you, all of a sudden you say, Pastor, I have obedience, but I don't have radical obedience, and I've got to, I must have. For those that are hungry, you're jumping all over this. For you that are apathetic, it's just, are you ever going to quit? And I can't make you. I can't make you hungry. But I will tell you, without the recognition of the Holy Spirit, you'll never recognize a personal challenge in your life, and you'll never see the promise. It only takes commitment. Do you know what brought Abraham to the point where he did? He stuck with God. Absolutely, unquestionably, undeniably. I'm radically obedient to Jehovah. And when he did, he started opening his heart to his child. And he said, now you know me as Jehovah Jireh. You will know me as Jehovah Nissi. You will know me as Jehovah Shalom. You will know me as Jehovah Elohim, the Almighty, unquestionable, only God. You'll know me. You'll know me. But I'm going to let you go through processes. Stand, please, and please don't move around. But please.